welcome to a great edition of Talking Tigs. I am Scott Gerard, and joining me, as always, Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. Folks, we usually say it, but this one we actually do have a great game to get into because LSU just finally decided to stop toying with us and open up the offense. Tigers got a great win against Southeast Louisiana, bless their hearts. It was 56-10, but Tigers at least finally looked good doing it. We are now 4-0 and moving into a big week against Ole Miss, but we'll get into that later. We got to talk about this offensive extravaganza that the Tigers put on and, you know, all the other stuff in college football and beyond. Before we do, wanted to check in with you guys to see how your week was. Happy to be finally talking some positivity as far as LSU offense goes. I mean, the defense did its thing as usual. Another game held to 10 points. Got to be happy with that, but hopefully y'all had a good week. Otherwise, Tommy, Daniel, how y'all doing?
Good. Good to be with you. I'm celebrating another big LSU win. Excited about that. And 4-0, can't complain too badly, but I'll find a reason to.
Yeah, it was nice to see the offense put 56 points on the board. I was thinking about before the 2019 season when Joe Burrow said that we were going to be dropping 60, and that was a little bit dubious. We didn't quite get there against Southeastern, but definitely better than 20, and kind of juicing those stats up. And meanwhile, the defense still played well. So a nice little tune-up before a huge trip to Oxford this week against Ole Miss, and what should be a real fun weekend in college football coming up. So excited to get into all that with y'all.
Same. And it's interesting. Yeah, you mentioned the defense showed up. We've held every team to 10. It doesn't matter if they were ranked number three, I forget what Florida was ranked when we played them, but it's like it doesn't matter. You could be a preseason playoff contender or Southeast Louisiana. Doesn't matter. 10 points. That's your max. I don't know. I think there was a lot of subs in the second half. At least that's what I'm going to go with. That's why they actually scored that much. But anyway, overall, great win for the Tigers. There was no like, oh my God, what are we doing? Why are we messing around with Southeast Louisiana? Let's just open up the playbook and see what we got. We did. I think it was interesting to find out though this week that apparently the reason we haven't opened up the book more, it was because of coaching, I guess. I don't know. They wanted to, Brian Kelly himself said he wanted to tame it down for the defense, which I still not quite sure understand, but I think what he was trying to say is they're keeping it tame because Garrett Nussmeier was dealing with an abdominal or torso injury? It's still another non-specific injury. Flip-flop unrelated. If you know what I'm talking about, you know, but they look fine. I mean, I thought Nussmeier may not have come back in the second half. He did for at least one more score, which is great. It's good to pad the stats there. LSU was up pretty big at the half, though, and that's what you want to see in this game. Defense did its thing. I don't really have any notes for that. Maybe some on offense, but I don't know, Tommy. I mean, it kind of finally felt like we saw what we wanted to see game one. I mean, we were more surprised than anything for the last few weeks in our defense. I guess it was at least finally nice to see the offense do its share, although with a much lesser opponent, but that's what you want to see in these games, right? Leading up to a big in-conference battle next weekend. What were your thoughts?
Overall, I thought it was a decent win. I don't want to get too high on this team just because, I mean, this Southeastern team is not good. This is a team that lost 24-0 to Louisiana Tech. Just for LSU fans, like that's somebody we've also seen, right? I think Nussmeier looked good. I think he threw the ball well. I still have a lot of issues with the offensive line and the running game. Caden Durham, left the game in the second quarter. I'm wondering, I don't know if that's a, I don't know how big of a, of a, you know, how, what that's going to mean for Ole Miss. I hope he's okay for, to play on Saturday. But you know, that's having your start, starting running back leave the game early is not great.
And it was an ankle sprain, right? So to be determined.
We'll see. I mean, I'm sure if I had to bet, I would say he probably goes, but you know, that's something to be aware of. Kind of felt like Juwan Johnson was our best running back throughout the game, and it, which is strange because he's, I mean, as of, you know, 3 months ago, he was a quarterback on this team. Harlan Berry did get some carries, which I think that's something that we pointed out last, you know, going into this game, we wanted to see a little more from him and give, give him the opportunity to shine, on this, you know, this, kind of tune-up game. I was very disappointed, especially at the beginning of the game, with the amount of drops across the board. I thought that, I mean, Aaron Anderson had bad drops. Nick Anderson had a bad, a couple bad drops. Barry and Brown, I believe, had a drop in the end zone. Not great there. Oh, and Caden Durham had a drop, which was kind of his fault. Not really his fault. I think on play number one, or play number, play number one with that weird little, no, I'm sorry. No, he caught it, but then got tackled for
a 7-yard loss. It was a loss of 7 yards.
On that swing pass. So I thought that, okay, I thought we looked fine. I thought we took care of business. We did everything that we needed to do. We you know, put up 56 points, held them. I think the story of the game continues, the story of this team continues to be the elite defense, held them to 10 points and, you know, really, that they didn't start scoring until towards the end of the game. So it was a dominant defensive performance again, especially on the D line. There was getting a lot of pressure. Whit Weeks looked good. I think a little bit quieter from Perkins this game, which is which was fine, but just something to note. Really liked what you saw. I think the star on the defensive side was probably Bernard Gooden, right, with the on the defensive line. So overall, a win's a win. I do, but going into this Ole Miss game, especially watching Ole Miss play Tulane almost, you know, and then watch LSU play back to back. Ole Miss looked good against a Tulane team that I was high on going into this season and had, you know, I thought they had a chance to really compete. And I mean, I had not a ton of money, but I had some dollars on them to keep that Ole Miss game close. So, I think that we're in for a test at Vaught-Hemingway in Oxford this weekend. And so I think there's still some things to get right.
Yeah, I would give the overall grade for LSU about an A minus for this game against Southeastern. Obviously, they're inferior opponents, and LSU's favored by nearly 50 points, and that's pretty much what we got done. I mean, we had almost as many points as the first three games combined, which is kind of crazy, via 8 touchdowns. And so you can't complain about that too much on the offense. We saw more consistent ability to drive the ball down the field. Before we would kind of sputter a lot and just kind of go three and out. That didn't happen quite so much. You kind of look at our stats on third and fourth down. We were 9 of 14 on third down and 3 of 3 on fourth down. Ideally, you wouldn't have to be facing 3 fourth downs against Southeastern that you then have to convert, but we got the job done there, and that allowed us to score 7. So if we can replicate that going forward, then those are drives that you convert to touchdowns, and that allows you to compete against high-octane offenses like Ole Miss and the rest of the SEC. Tommy called out the offensive line, though, as a bit of a weak spot, both in kind of pass and run blocking. It was a little bit lackluster. They had one of their D tackles get after Nussmeier to take him down for 2 sacks, coming off the right side. Weston Davis, the right tackle, really struggled. You don't want him to be struggling against FCS competition when you've got tougher opponents coming here. So I was hoping they might try Carius Kern, who was a highly touted true freshman prospect, at least kind of give him some reps. And I don't really think that happened. I didn't really see the snap count, but that's a position where we really need to develop here. What were you saying, Scott?
Well, I thought they had mentioned it during the broadcast, so I thought maybe he did, but I honestly didn't check the snap count either. Maybe they were just doing a story on him because he was like the number one guy out of Arkansas, and mm-hmm. we got him. So,
you know. Yeah. And then on the defense, it's pretty much enough said, but we played solid like we have all season. Plenty of guys got in the rotation, especially in the second half, which is nice to see. The only other downsides was we called out that ankle sprain to Caden Durham. And then, Nussmeier hopefully is pretty much healed from his torso injury. He played really well himself, given the kind of, I don't know if you call them struggles, but a bit of a slow start earlier in the season. And those kind of few incomplete passes that he did have were mostly due to drops. The only other thing was that there wasn't a whole lot of explosive offense. Our biggest play was for 27 yards. Some of these are the type of games where you like to see him just taking the top off the defense, where you're scoring like 50, 60 yard touchdown bombs. And we really didn't see that. It was more kind of the grindy drives back to the less miles offense type of thing. But I guess if it gets the job done, you can't complain too much. So Joe Sloan's play calling is going to get tested against Ole Miss and Blake Baker's defense as well. So a big, big circle on the calendar there, especially since our prior wins against Clemson and Florida continue to deteriorate.
Yeah. Well, I would say that the as far as like the big home run hitting plays, I mean, we had a couple in the works, but Southeastern was not going to just let us score it. So, I mean, they did have some pass interference on those type of plays. I know Chris Hilton probably would have had one. I think Anderson might have been victim for another one of those or somebody else. But we did try. I mean, that was the knock at the beginning, right? It's like, we're not going downfield. What are we doing? We got, you know, the fastest wide receiver group possibly in the country, and we're just going 10, 5 yard routes. What are we doing? We did try that. It looked better. We scored a lot more points. Yeah. I mean, it could definitely look even better. We'll find out next week against better opponents, but I guess the issue is just getting those kinks out, letting this offense find a rhythm and feel good about themselves. Because obviously they had, I didn't watch Kelly's post game interview, so I don't know if anyone asked him about the offense. Obviously he felt better. I don't know if anyone would have criticized him, you know, with some of these obvious, you know, honest takes that y'all just gave, but I know he would say like, what do you want from me? We just put up 56 points. Our QB got 3 touchdowns. What do you want? But whatever, you know, all that aside, obviously room for improvement. But as long as our defense is holding people to 10 points, I mean, I think the real thing would be is if we could hold Ole Miss to 10 points, right? Or just hold them to less than we score. That's all we need. I don't care if they score 15 and we score 16. That's another win, another ranked win in LSU's playbook, although the ones we've had before this week, they don't look so good. Clemson is just ASS right now. Florida is not looking good either. I thought they might have put up a little bit more fight against Miami. They were more up for our game than they were Miami, apparently. And now all of our wins, I mean, yeah, we're undefeated. We're top 5 in the country in both polls. But, you know, later on, I think if we just win out, it's not going to matter. But I'm still not sure how to judge the team since both of our really good wins don't look as good now. So I guess Ole Miss will be the test, you know, or the next test, I guess. Remember 2019, every week was a test. Oh yeah, but they haven't beaten anybody. Okay, yeah, but they beat somebody, but you know, that team, you know, there was always some reason on why they wanted to dismiss it until the end of the season when we blew everybody out. So remains to be seen. Now, as far as the offense itself, yeah, there's some work that needs to be done. But at least we got Nuss to chuck it downfield, and it looked good that way. Yeah, it remains to be seen how the line's going to hold up against Ole Miss and if we can utilize our running game. I don't know. I don't know if Joe Sloan really tried anything different, because you could tell, like, that first series or two, they were scripted. I mean, like, like you said, Tommy, that first play was a 7-yard loss. And what was the next play call? A draw. I don't know why you would draw on 2 and 17, but we did. And then that next play after that obviously didn't do anything. So, I don't know. I think Brian Kelly's okay with Joe Sloan because he knows the deeper story. of why we're not scoring more. But do you think that changes this upcoming week? Do you think they would try new things now that we've tried to push some stuff downfield and we're successful?
I would hope that they've got a few things kind of, you know, up their sleeves for Ole Miss. I think that this game is going to be won defensively for LSU. This is going to be the best offense that they've faced. And I think that, I just don't have a ton of faith in this offense to go out and win the game. Especially with a depleted running game. You've got an offensive line that is going to have, between injury issues and DJ Chester, who played a significant amount at right tackle last night, being ejected for targeting. So he's going to have to sit.
Yeah, that was just dumb.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how often does an offensive lineman go on defense and know how to tackle somebody? I mean, I think this rule, hopefully they change it after this season, but go on.
Well, we've been asking for a targeting change for years now, but I don't know. I'm not going to say we're going to struggle, but I really think this is going to be a defensive game for us. Hopefully we can push the ball down the field a little bit. That's something that Tulane did not do at all yesterday that I was kind of surprised about. I thought that, you know, with their kind of new star quarterback, they might look to exploit the Ole Miss secondary a little bit, but I don't see it a ton. I think that something that I look for is turnovers for LSU. I think if we can win the turnover battle, we're going to be able to have some success. But I think also Nussmeier, like, he's going to have to play like he played yesterday, and not like he played against Tech or Florida, really. And take care of the ball. He doesn't have to do too much. I don't think LSU has to put up 45 points to win this game. But I think that LSU has to do what we haven't really done so far and control the ball, take care of the ball. We can't go three and out on the first drive like we did against Southeastern. And let us, you know, do what we do best, which is play probably the best defense in the country, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be tough going to Oxford. The fewest amount of points that Ole Miss has scored so far in the season is 30 points. And before yesterday, that was more than the fewest that we have scored, or the most that we have scored, excuse me. So their offense is strong, as it always is, under Lane Kiffin. They are with their second string quarterback at this point, Trinidad Chambliss, who he kind of came in two games ago and he started against Tulane and he looked really good, both throwing the ball and running. So yeah, we haven't faced a real kind of dual threat quarterback up until this point. Lagway was okay, but he kind of imploded on himself. So this will test our defense. Chambliss is a transfer from D2 Ferris State, so he's really climbed the ranks to the top of the SEC already. Their prior quarterback, Austin Sim, is dealing with injury. So if he clicks with their offense, then that'll be a lot for LSU's defense to contain, especially in an environment that's going to be very loud. Saturday night in Oxford, weird stuff always happens there. LSU has struggled over the last, I would say, 10 years going to Oxford. It's been a very back and forth rivalry. So tensions will be high. I will say that Ole Miss hasn't exactly been super tested at this point either. They did beat Arkansas and they did beat Tulane, both of which are decent teams, but I wouldn't really put them in a tier above Clemson and Florida. So I would say that kind of on that level, we're about the same. Nobody has a super signature win yet. So if either for LSU or Ole Miss, this will be a nice kind of stamp on their passport marching towards the college football playoff. And I'm excited for it right now. Ole Miss is favored, I believe, by 1.5. So Vegas likes them just a little bit. And LSU obviously is ranked higher, number 4. We dropped down one spot in the rankings today. I don't know if I would say that we're the 4th best team in the country, but Ole Miss at 13, pretty evenly matched. I like our chances, but we'll have to run the ball better. Caden Durham might not be able to go, so returning to Juwan Johnson and Harlan Berry. not super experienced in their own right, but as long as they can keep us balanced and not have to make Nussmeier throw it 40 times a game, I think we'll be all right there, because once we start getting one dimensional, that's when they can really attack that weak point of our offensive line and cause chaos for us down the line. What do you think of Scott on this one?
Well, you said it. I think Ole Miss hasn't, well, I mean, they haven't played anybody, you know, I don't want to say of note, because, yeah, it was a good game against Arkansas. It was actually a good game against Kentucky, too, which was on the road. That was the lowest scoring game. And I don't know. I feel good about our chances because of that, because I don't think any of those teams have the defense that we do. So Ole Miss, you know, feeling like they can't score, I don't know. I feel like our offense will – all they would need to do is just not give it up. I feel like our defense can hold them at least to the point where offense can at least find some rhythm and get the ball downfield and into the end zone. I think that was key last night, was just not having, I mean, we did push it in from the, you know, the goal line and beyond, but at least we scored within the red zone through the air, which is what we needed to do, what we've been needing to do. So as long as we can keep doing that against a better opponent like Ole Miss, I think we'll be fine. Now, this guy from Ferris State, you know, he came in against Tulane's defense. I don't know where they were at, but he's going to definitely face a tougher task with LSU. So I don't know if they would maybe play a little bit more conservatively because of that, you know. I guess we'll see, but I don't know. I guess I like our defense to give us a shot in any game this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think this defense has, you know, so far has proven that they're going to keep us in the game. This is like, we've talked about it for 4 weeks now, but this is the best defense I've seen in a decade for LSU. Mm-hmm. I do not think it's going to be a blowout. I do not think that we're not going to have a chance to compete. I think it's going to be, can the offense put together a few plays to take advantage of the chance that this defense is going to give us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the over under is 56.5, so that's saying kind of Ole Miss 28, LSU 27, something like that. Or no, it'd be a little bit higher, but still, I think if our defense holds them to 20 or less, then we win the game. And I mean, holding to almost to 20 is a very difficult proposition. I think we are up to it, just can't really get in a hole early and then have to climb our way out of that. And we did suffer a little bit in terms of penalties, both against Florida and Southeastern yesterday. So self-inflicted mistakes. You called out the turnover battle, Tommy, just to, it's kind of obvious, but avoid that as much as possible. Nussmeier does a decent job of protecting the ball, but he'll have to minimize those bad sacks that he is prone to take once or twice a game, and then not just tossing it up to the Ole Miss defense. So kind of ground and pound with a mixture of Aaron Anderson and Barry and Brown slants, and just let our defense, Whit Weeks, who was playing with a lot of enthusiasm coming back after his suspension for the targeting, I let him and Perkins go to work and take care of business. And really, if we beat this Ole Miss team and go to 5-0, then the back half of the season, you're feeling pretty good about it as an LSU fan, because with every win, we're like, okay, we're all right now, but there's still a lot of questions, and the questions kind of keep coming, but we keep winning. So a win is a win, and we move on.
I was thinking about this last night. I don't know if y'all agree. And I mean, this is not me saying we're going to win the national championship by any means, but yeah, this team reminds me more of the LSU baseball team from this year than as opposed to like the 23 baseball team being like the 2019 baseball. I mean, the 23 baseball team being like the 2019 football team. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, there were no chinks in that armor. Like 2019, especially like in 2023,
yeah,
everything clicked.
Where's the weakness?
We're just the best. Right. Like, we're just the best. Good day in, day out. Defense great. Defense good. Offense the best to ever do it. Pitching best to ever do it with Skeens. Offense best in the country. With this team, like, I think especially with that defense, they have a chance to be very, very special. They have a chance to continue on. And I mean, I took a look at our model today, updated it with the stats from around college football, including our scores against, Southeastern. It still has us going 11-1. I think that I stand by my, well, I can only stand by partially my prediction, because I did say 11-1, but I said we'd lose to Clemson, which I just have to, I'm embarrassed now with the amount. Like, I thought Clemson was gonna be the real deal, you know, this year.
Nope.
And they're awful.
Yeah.
That aside, I think we should be fine. I like us getting points at Ole Miss, and I think we'll come away with a win.
I feel like our defense will step up again too, and maybe get us a score, kind of like they did against Florida. Because I don't know much about Ole Miss's QB, but I know he doesn't have the same experience as DJ Lagway, and oh my God, we made Lagway look like a first year starter in the NFL, just kind of learning the ropes of don't throw into coverage. And maybe we'll have that same dominance again this week. Dominance meaning we just, we protect the end zone, basically. We're not going to give up these big plays that Ole Miss has been getting. And honestly, if we return one back, or if we get a punt return or something, that could be the difference in the game. I don't know if it's going to be a 54-yard field goal that wins it, but I mean, if LSU's defense can score, that's just a table turner right there. That'll just suck all the energy out of Vaught Hemingway Stadium, which is definitely what you want, because it is an afternoon game. It'll bleed into the night, but you definitely don't want all those Rebel fans just yelling their heads off. You want them quiet.
Oh, I think that I see LSU winning because of defensive excellence and a big play, like you mentioned, like maybe like on a pick six or a big fumble recovery.
Yeah, just to pick up a sack fumble and we just pick it up.
Like I think that is needs to be part of the equation for us to have success. So I like where your head's at. Mm-hmm. You know, this Ole Miss team is a little bit weird. I mean, they played the Kentucky gave them a run for their money. They nearly lost that game and trailed Kentucky for a bit. Then they've played Arkansas played him close. I'm not that impressed with Arkansas at all.
Not anymore. Well, they lost to Memphis now. So
yeah. And then Georgia State's not an issue. They beat him 63-7. I'm not, you know, Lane Kiffin can run up the score on anybody. So that doesn't really concern me. I think that, to be honest, and maybe this is my bias just because of how excited I was about Tulane going into the season, but that Tulane game did kind of concern me. I'm like, okay, they smothered Tulane.
They were playing basketball in the middle of the game. Lane Kiffin was throwing alley oops.
Lane Kiffin was throwing alley oops. Yeah. So I do see, you know, the only thing is LSU's success fool's gold. I don't think that defensive success is fool's gold. I think we've consistently proven we can really stifle any offense. I'd put us up against any of the best offenses in the country right now. That our offense though is another story. So
yeah. Well, just like 2011, we're not comparing ourselves to 2019, but maybe we're 2011. You know, where I mean, we're not using a dual QB system. Although it was finally good to see another quarterback take some snaps. We thought we would have already, maybe against La Tech, because maybe we'd have been up a lot more than we would have anticipated, and maybe would have seen Michael Van Buren earlier, but it was good to see him in the third and fourth quarter. Look good in that touchdown drive the times we scored. I was hoping we might see Hurley, but I guess that'll be the next thing later down the road. But did want to mention this, speaking of Clemson and backup QBs, Syracuse's backup QB went down. Looks like it might be an Achilles tear, which means he would probably be out the rest of the season. And in steps Ricky Collins, got his first touchdown against Clemson and held them at bay. So Clemson basically got beat by two different LSU quarterbacks in the same season. I mean, not that we're taking credit for all of Syracuse's success, but still, you know, good for him. He's that's why he transferred, was so he could play. And then I was like, oh wow, this other guy beat him out. That's probably not what he wanted to happen. But as football, you know, as the world turns, now he's probably the starter from the rest of the season, and we'll see what Syracuse does. But yeah, God, Clemson.
He's a Baton Rouge product too. So you know, good for him. I think that don't look now, but Clemson this week. No, I'm sorry, Clemson. They're on a bye this week. Clemson next week has UNC at UNC. Now, who's going to start for them at quarterback?
Max Johnson was
Max Johnson. So they have a chance to lose to three LSU quarterbacks in one season.
Oh my goodness. That's funny.
Wow. Yeah. UNC, another team looking bad. The Belichick era is not off to a good start, but back to the Ole Miss game, just to wrap it up, I was going to give my score prediction here. Ole Miss is going to score some points. You can't stop that. Hopefully our defense keeps it to a minimum. And I think our offense does just enough to get us the win. So LSU kind of in a squeaker, maybe 27-26. That's a weird score. 27-24. I'll say LSU.
I'll go 24-20.
Even lower. I wouldn't be surprised if that's how it happens. I mean, that's what the first three games looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy? Yeah. I have LSU. I'm right there with you. I've got LSU 28, Ole Miss 24. I've already put money on the Tigers. I got the look ahead line and took them with the points. I'm excited about that. I like the under in the game. So, you know, for all those who partake, I would, you know, maybe go with that. So that's where I'm at. I think LSU goes in and gets the win, and the defense is the star.
Mm-hmm. Now, there were not many competitive games this week. There was maybe a couple. I'd say Auburn and Oklahoma was a good one. That came, you know, that was decided by one score, but OU looks to be the part. Auburn, don't know, remains to be seen. Their first real test, and they lost. It was on the road in the SEC, so can't fault him. I don't know, maybe Texas Tech-Utah was another ranked matchup, but Texas Tech took that one. Other than that, I mean, there was Michigan-Nebraska, which was close, but Michigan came out on top for that. Mizzou took down South Carolina, so they are not as big of a threat as they were to begin the season, right? Because Lenora Sellers was supposed to be the guy that was going to maybe take them to the next level, kind of like where they were back when Spurrier first joined them, and they, you know, they kind of got into the top five, but I don't think South Carolina has it this year. But obviously Clemson is trending way down. I don't think there was any other real competitive game, unless you guys want to correct me on that.
Oklahoma beating Auburn at Oklahoma. The Sooners still looking solid top to bottom, and we've been kind of eyeballing that game at the end of the season for a little while. I don't know if y'all saw Texas blowing out Sam Houston State, but kind of the highlight was Arch Manning like running in for a touchdown, God, and like flexing on the Sam Houston State defender laying on the ground. It's like, okay, Arch, like you haven't had the best season here. No need to rub it in on this poor fella. So that was a little bit weird, but other than that, yeah, not too many awesome games. Hopefully this next week kind of makes up for it, but we'll get to that in a second here.
The only note I have, I think that Oklahoma win is a little suspect now. I mean, did y'all see the big controversy with the hideout player?
Yeah. He was faking running off the field.
Yeah. Now, I mean, like, I'm not saying like, oh, like, you know, the win should be vacated or something like that. But I do think that, I mean, that was 7 points on the board that could have easily been taken off. And that's a different game. I think Auburn it was a lot closer than expected. And Auburn, a team that, I mean, it's not, I would say everyone agrees, is not an elite SEC team, not one of the top five in the league, maybe not even one of the top 10. Went in and really gave Oklahoma everything they had. I think that showed that, you know, to me that I've been very high on Oklahoma, specifically on John Mateer. And I felt that was a little bit suspect of them, which I was glad to see for our sake.
Mm-hmm. I would say I don't see anything wrong with it. I've seen plenty of plays like that before. And if anything, maybe it gave Auburn a chance to substitute when otherwise they wouldn't have. But I mean, if you can get away with it, if it's up to Auburn and the officials, don't watch this guy to see if he actually leaves the field, then I say play ball. I don't see an issue with it. I realize why they may say that that's unfair, but I don't care. It's football. They've taken away so many other trick plays because of certain rules that I don't see why this one is any different. You're either paying attention or you're not, right?
I mean, I see that. I mean, I think that it's similar to I think the difference is there's a little bit of a difference between like just paying attention. And then it reminds me of the falling to the ground and faking an injury to get extra time out.
Yeah.
Like I can see both sides.
My opinion is like it's fine if it's in the rules, you can do it, but it doesn't really set a great precedent where it's then everybody's going to try and do kind of weird stuff, basically any lowdown trick they can find to win a football game.
Well, like to me, the quintessential like real like weird trick play that you don't see every day but that like works is like the Riley Cooper Eagles. Well, like kick return where he laid down in the end zone in like a green part of the end zone where you couldn't see him because their jerseys matched the end zone. And then they kicked it off and then he stood up and the guy threw it to him wherever he ran off. I don't see that. I don't see this as the same thing. Like to me, and I think it is in the rule book from what I saw. I mean, Auburn Twitter was going off on this. I literally saw screenshots of the rule book. Like this is what they should do. All that to say, I just don't think that the number seven team in the nation with the Heisman, you know, Heisman favorite quarterback had a good showing against Auburn, a team that I think we all agree they probably, if you know, a top 10 team should have just taken care of.
Sure. I would agree. Now, speaking of top 10 or, you know, favorable matchups, unlike this week, next week, there are a lot of good matchups, including ours. I mean, we're number four. We're playing Ole Miss. Like you said, they're 13. That's going to be 3:30 Eastern on ABC. Get the afternoon marquee game. Lots of other good ones too. And you did just mention Auburn. It'll be interesting because they're going to go to number 9 A&M. So it'll be interesting to see if either one of those, like if Auburn really is just bad or if A&M really is good. That'll be interesting. You also have Notre Dame going to Arkansas. So Notre Dame's kind of been just filling it. Well, they lost their first two games. Now they're 1-2, but they're still ranked. So I don't know. Maybe Arkansas has something in it to upset them. You got Alabama, Georgia, obviously, which they both conveniently had buys before. So that'll be a good game too. That's kicking off much later at 7:30. Got the prime time game on ABC. Of course, there's some other good matchups around the SEC, but what are some other ones that you guys think might help make that a really good day in college football?
Well, LSU versus Ole Miss would probably be a college game day worthy matchup on a normal Saturday, but they're outclassed kind of by two other matchups that are, to me, unfortunately, happening at the exact same time because I'd like to watch both of them, which are Oregon going to Penn State in a weird Big Ten matchup. Both two teams, Oregon 6 and Penn State 3, that have really been kind of steamrolling so far in the season. It's time to see who's for real and who's just kind of the stat patters. Penn State, They always go crazy at night with the wide outs. And then the other one, Alabama versus Georgia, maybe of a little bit more local interest, I suppose. That's always a really fun one. That was a crazy game last year. Ryan Williams like going off for the last second touchdown. So hopefully they can kind of retread those steps and put on another good performance on Saturday night in Athens on ABC. So you had to be flicking your remote back and forth between those. LSU, you called out at the afternoon slot. Not too much in the morning. USC at Illinois, an Illinois team that got thrashed by Indiana. It's not good when you lose by 50 points to Indiana, who's actually looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I was about to call out that Indiana game from last week. That was a decimation. So that was interesting.
Yeah, and then one more is number one team in the land, Ohio State, going to Washington, a Washington team that's not ranked and not super good, but kind of like a random like upset alert going cross country into a hostile environment. That would be kind of crazy if number one drops in the midst of all this. But those are the kind of main ones I'm watching out for.
Yeah, I mean, it's not until 3:30, but that's Eastern time. It's basically a 12:30 game on the West Coast. And I think that's some of the thing that the Big Ten teams are going to have to get used to is just these weird time changes traveling back and forth across the country. That could be an upset alert, although I don't know how good Washington is, but I definitely could see OSU starting very slow that game. Another one I think is interesting is Tennessee, who's 15, looking pretty good, yep, going to Mississippi State. But guys, Mississippi State's undefeated.
They are.
Cowbells ringing.
Yeah, what's going on there?
And they had that quality win against Arizona State. That was a big deal for them. Mm-hmm. Other than that, they haven't really played anybody of note.
They ain't playing nobody, Paul.
Yeah, but I agree, Scott. I circled that one as one just to monitor. I think that the most important thing for me this weekend is that LSU is in the 2:30 time slot, but will not be playing the SEC on CBS. So I wish that I could use AI to like produce, to basically like stream the game, but then like overlay AI Gary Danielson and
Vern Lundquist. My,
that would just make my life better. But yeah, Unfortunately, I think I'll have to live with probably Greg McElroy and Sean McDonough.
Yeah, had they announced it yet who it's going to be? I don't think they did, but yeah,
they did. That's kind of usually the 2:30 group for ESPN.
Maybe,
or no, they do night games. Actually, I don't know who it's going to be.
It's a little bit different now that they have all these ABC games, so they kind of split them off over there sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I don't know. It's just a really good day for college football. I think we'll be on the good side of it come Sunday. Now, after that, we still don't have a game off, right? Like I think we go one more and then we have a game off. And because a lot of teams have already had a bye, which is just
we'll go to bye the next week.
Yeah, next week bye, so we'll have that before the South Carolina game. So it would be nice to roll in there 5-0.
That's what I was going to say. 5-0 on a bye week, that would be amazing.
Yeah, hosting a South Carolina team that you know we beat last year, but probably should have lost to. So
sure,
Beamer Bowl.
And yeah.
Meanwhile, on the other side, Beamer being talked about as the new Virginia Tech coach. Wouldn't that be something?
It would be.
Sounds like a lateral move to me.
Yeah, unless maybe he just...
What if the SEC lights are a little too bright and he wants to go to a place where he can win and keep his job based on his name?
I've heard Michael Vick tossed around a little bit for that Virginia Tech job, considering he played there and he's in the coaching throes at, I believe, a D2 HBCU or something right
now.
He's in Norfolk State, and he's struggling, from what I've heard.
So that might be a little big step up for Mike at this point.
I think the Virginia Tech would give both of those guys some leeway, though, just because of their legacy. But honestly, who knows? Shane Beamer could have more success at Virginia Tech, but... I mean, isn't he like I felt like he had ties to South Carolina, and that's also why he went there. So I don't know that he would just give that up quite as easily to go to Virginia Tech like it's his dream job or something, you know? Although, yeah. I mean, he's not like Dabo and he just put it out there. He's like, well, let him can me. Okay, I got a lot of good years left in me. I'm not retiring.
They might have to take him up on his offer if the season continues to go like this.
Then he goes, what am I going to do, go to the beach?
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's what O did. O's living the time of his life. I don't know. I still think he could come back too if LSU had a change in the guards. Anywho, anything else as far as, you know, the college football landscape? Because there was a few other things related to college football and LSU I did want to get into.
And what might that be?
That might be, well, it's just more SEC football, because this week the league is going to announce the 9-game schedules for next year, including who LSU and everybody's three, we're not going to say permanent, they're calling them annual rivals, who our three annual rivals are going to be at least for the next 4 years, because they're saying that they're going to review those three teams every 4 years. I'm guessing they're like, well, I guess if a rivalry goes cold, we can just change it to keep our numbers good, which is that's how I'm reading it. Cause I know you're not going to get rid of Auburn, Alabama. They're not going to review that every 4 years. They're not going to review some other, they're not going to review Georgia, Florida every 4 years. Come on. It's for teams like LSU who, you know, I mean, we have Ole Miss. They've kind of been a rivalry. Arkansas has been a rivalry. A&M, more recent, but I guess now we're a rival too, although I still think Florida is one. But they're going to reveal that this week, as well as our 9-game schedules. Just wanted to get your take on that too, because I thought it was interesting that they're going to review the annual teams, our annual games every 4 years. But I think that's just business, right?
Yeah, I think it's kind of, I think in some ways it's a little telling, because it shows that the SEC is, you know, not totally sure on who are these rivals. For a while, they tried to make, like we've talked about before on this podcast, they tried to manufacture that A&M LSU rivalry, and that was a full on like league created deal. I think that in the same way they're going to, you know, maybe do the same thing, try a few things out. And then if it doesn't work in 4 years, you might have new rivals. You know, like we've talked about, how we might lose. Well, we probably are going to either lose like probably the Florida game or, well, I guess we've already lost the Auburn game every year, but, you know, we'll lose some. We're losing some of these rivalries that I think LSU fans have talked about and considered to be
on an annual basis. Yes, yeah. But we're supposed to play everybody like every 2 years. Wasn't that the?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But
it's not the same. I just don't see. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of like a stuck in my ways like SEC guy, but it just doesn't feel the same to me.
Yeah, well, with how the conference realignment has been going over the last 2 decades, really, with Texas and Oklahoma being added and people always beating the drum for more teams to be added to the SEC, I think the kind of periodic review of what the rivalries and opponents are is kind of necessary, just so they don't lock themselves into a 15-year commitment or whatever, and then they kind of dig themselves into a hole. That said, I think LSU's permanent opponents, if I had to get my own predictions, I think we're going to get Ole Miss, just because that one kind of has a historic rivalry, and the fact that Ole Miss doesn't have too many rivalries themselves other than Mississippi State and LSU. Yeah. So that one seems to make sense to me. I think they're going to give us A&M, just because that's a rivalry that's been kind of built up, both geographic and kind of historical. And so A&M is probably going to get Texas and then LSU and then maybe one other kind of random one, maybe Oklahoma or Arkansas. And then I think we're going to get Oklahoma, which I'm not very excited about. It's
but why it doesn't.
Yeah, I was reading that.
It's the manufactured one. The league decided that when A&M and when Texas came into the league, that A&M and Texas would be rivals and they would play at the end of the season, because the Red River Shootout is in the fall. And so they were like, well, it we're kind of like the stepchild. Like, they give us whatever the scraps are because we don't have a true in-state rival.
Yeah, because I was reading a post about it, and it's just kind of the way it shakes out based on almost everybody else's rivalries, and LSU and Oklahoma are kind of like the two left over, and yeah, we kind of just match with each other. The other candidates for Oklahoma would be Texas, obviously, who I think they're going to get, Arkansas maybe, and like Missouri maybe, but those I wouldn't say are super strong historical plays A&M? Either.
A&M, yeah, maybe, is right there.
Maybe A&M, but I think they're going to like to put us with Oklahoma because that seems kind of like a ratings driver, two pretty good matchups, and it kind of gets rid of us for everybody else. So I personally would like it if we were with Alabama or Florida or maybe even Mississippi State or Arkansas, but I guess we'll see what happens.
If I could do it, if I could just like pick the teams, it would be Ole Miss, Bama, and I think Florida.
I would go with that. I mean, the rivalry with Bama, I don't know. I mean,
so then Bama would have LSU, Auburn, and Tennessee, I would think, which would make sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who's left out then?
I don't know. I mean, who else is Bama? I mean, Georgia's a rivalry, but I don't think that's good enough to pair them with them each year for the next 4 years.
For time of memoriam, they've been in East and West, so they haven't played each other every year.
Right, right. That's why I think LSU, it'll probably be Ole Miss, A&M, and Florida. That's my guess. I don't know. If I was to pick, I would say Ole Miss, Arkansas, and Florida, honestly. Like I said, we get up for the Florida game. They get up for us. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. I get the feeling the league is trying to move us away from Florida, the Florida game.
Who is Lee?
The league.
Oh, the league.
Yeah.
I was like, who's Lee? but anyway, I don't know. It's very interesting. I guess we'll find out this week, you know, who's right about that. The other thing I wanted to talk about was an article I saw in the Reveille, actually, LSU's student newspaper. It was just going over what game week prep and like what are the things that they do each week for a game for LSU football, which usually starts on Tuesday. That's when they have a planning. They look at, oh God, what happened last week? How do we fix that? But I don't know. There was just some numbers in here that I thought were kind of interesting. So I just wanted to toss that out there real quick before we close up shop for this week. But basically, like I said, it starts on Tuesday. In each game day, they have about 3,000 workers in the stadium. And for each, you know, this is an average game here. They go through 65,000 beers in Tiger Stadium, 70,000 bottles of water. That would be also 4,000 bags of popcorn, which is a lot, you know, especially if it's a hot day. Like, popcorn just it's salty. It makes you thirsty. Maybe that's why they sell so many beers and water. 4,000 hamburgers and 8,000 hot dogs. All that results in about $1.5 million to $2 million in sales, which is good. Yeah, but they kind of distributed that with all the other programs in the athletic department because, you know, football kind of makes up a share of all of it. But it was interesting. They showed something in the game between LSU and SILU, how LSU football, it's like their budget was $221 million and they grossed $221 million, but they spent $222 million. So it's like, I thought football was making money. How are we losing money after all that? Meanwhile, Southeastern, I think they made $15 million and they spent $16 million. So doesn't matter if you're Division One or FBS, you're just underwater basically. For each game day, there's a lot that goes into it on the field too. I mean, just think about the painting. And LSU's different because, you know, we do the yard markers every 5 yards instead of every 10. So they actually use 355 gallons of paint each week. Now
with the Venture Global logo on the field, we never talked about that.
That's even more.
Shout out Venture Global.
That's about $100,000 a year in paint. But, I mean, if we're making $1.5 million each game in concessions, I mean, obviously that would more than pay for it. But there's also machinery involved in that as far as upkeep. But just think of all the trash that would produce. Like they have people come in at like 4 a.m. on a Sunday and just clean out the inside this. Well, they don't even count the trash inside the stadium because I guess that's different. But outside the stadium, you know, like all the tailgating, all the, they have 5,000 trash cans usually set up outside, which results in about 30 tons of waste after each game. And again, that's just outside. So they have like 40 to 120 staff that do that at 4 a.m. And they're usually done by noon. And, you know, on campus, you, like, you'll never notice that Monday morning, right? You couldn't tell there was 100,000 plus people there just throwing crap everywhere a day and a half before.
It's a good point, actually, because now that I think about it, I mean, like, you can definitely, like, the one thing that's a little bit that LSU does that is just kind of bad, I think. It's just bad. Mm-hmm. The Port-a-Johns never leave for the entire season. So they're out there. Yeah, they're put out, like, at random places on campus before the season even starts, before the first kickoff. The Port-a-Johns out there. They don't get taken up until after the season. So they just sit. So you can tell it's football season because of that. Right. But you're right. Like, it's generally pretty clean after a game day. The thing that I always heard, and I think this is true, at least it was true when I was there, is like if you got in like disciplinary trouble with the school, part of like your discipline action might be you have to show up at 4 a.m. and pick up trash. Oh,
yikes.
Like if you got caught, like I don't know what you could do to really get in that much trouble in college, but like, yeah, that's what I always heard.
Not pay a bunch of parking tickets until you got like hundreds sitting there and like, well, you can pay all this. Or you could show up Sunday morning at 4 a.m. Yeah,
I only have really one comment on that, which is not even on the numbers, but the concessions at LSU, you said we're selling a lot of them. I feel like we could sell even more if they were actually good. A few years ago, I mean, they have this contract with Aramark, I believe, who provides them. And I haven't been to a game in a couple of years, but the concessions are always pretty bleh. Like, even for a school that's known for kind of their historical Cajun cuisine and stuff, and they have like the little thing of jambalaya, but even that's like usually dried out and not that good, and it's charging $11 for it. And the hot dogs and hamburgers are pretty much just as much of the run of the mill kind of frozen as you can get. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's an opportunity to increase the fan experience. Obviously it would come at the cost of some investment, but it's a thing that you would like to kind of dress it up a little bit for the LSU faithful. And that's something that people bring up online all the time, but it just hasn't changed. I guess we got these contracts and we're stuck with them probably.
Yeah. I agree. I haven't eaten at an LSU football game in probably 10 years. Yeah. Like, I think the last time I ate at an LSU football game, I was in high school. Because of, yeah, the food's not good. I agree that that's like a missed opportunity, but I also think that it feels like to me the world of like good food at games is still relatively new. And like even pro stadiums, like I went to a Kansas City Royals game. I was in Kansas City last week for like a business trip, and the people I was with, we went to a Kansas City game, a Royals game. And like, the food there, the group I was with, it was like a company. So the company had like paid for, we had like a terrace, like kind of just reserved for us. And the stadium brought food, and the food was like not good. But then like I looked online and I'd heard there was like supposed to be decent food. So then I went to this like barbecue place and I had a barbecue sandwich that was supposed to be like the best in Kansas City. And it was like fine. But there, I don't know, like the Saints game food, not good in my opinion. Pelicans games, I haven't been to a Pelicans game, and me and Daniel, we went to a Pelicans game maybe 4 years ago, I think. Not good. Scott, I don't know, because you're in Atlanta, have you been to the Braves food? Is supposed to be pretty good, and I feel like I've had it like once, it was like fine.
It is. It's been a while since I've been to a game, but they have it set up to where there's all these restaurants outside the stadium, and some are kind of quasi where you can go into the restaurant and eat, and then actually they have, like, you could walk through the restaurant into the stadium that way. So it's, you know, you can go to the same restaurants during the game too. It's in a weird way, But yeah, it's good. I actually went to a Falcons game a few weeks ago. They're getting better known because they have really good food in the stadium, and it's cheap, right? It's not priced. It's not priced that big. So it is really good. Good variety. The only thing is everything inside the stadium is, it's like a cashless, system. So there is that. But yeah, I don't know. I think the other thing that LSU might be dealing with is, you know, those newer stadiums, they were able to build in the infrastructure. Exactly. I don't know that you could put something into these small, crammed concession stands under bleachers to where they can all of a sudden make they're not going to make fresh shredded chicken nachos, or that, you know, they're not going to have really good gumbo. Although I mean if I saw that when I was there for the spring game, I'm like, I'm tempted, but it's like buying just gumbo at the New Orleans airport just because you're in Louisiana. Buy gumbo. I didn't even try it. You know, I was like, I'm not going to buy jambalaya at Tiger Stadium.
That's the only thing I've ever eaten at Tiger Stadium, which was when I was in high school. Like one of my first LSU games, I went to an LSU game and I was like, oh, I want jambalaya. I'm at an LSU game. It's just Zatarain's from a box.
Right. Well, isn't that what the shoot was going to be upstairs? The shoot they were going to call it was supposed to have better food options.
But I think also the attraction at that time when they built the shoot was that it was the only place in the stadium that had beer.
Oh, right.
So like that makes sense. When they built the shoot, it was before the SEC had taken all the rules out. And so I remember people like there was a lot. I remember when they first opened the shoot, Daniel, you probably remember, you were there. Like, remember like the lines, you couldn't go into the shoot. I think we even tried to go one time. It was like, you can't get in.
But now they sell beer everywhere. So
yeah, now they sell it anywhere. So it's not really that.
And then the last thing I did want to mention, kind of all related, it, you know, the end game of all this, each game, you know, obviously there's plumbing that's going on inside that stadium. They have got, contracted plumbers stationed throughout so that if something did happen, they're only a few minutes away. Plus they also have a hydrovac truck stationed outside the stadium every game all day for something like that. And then maybe at the end of the day, maybe they empty all those porta potties that you see, Tommy. And that's why they're there all the time, because they just get emptied every game. I don't know. Anyway, saw that article, thought it was interesting, of the inner workings of Death Valley. But anyway, I don't know. That's all I had. Did you guys have anything else that you wanted to mention today?
I'm good with it. Excited for what is shaping up to be the biggest game of the year so far. We thought it was going to be Clemson, and now we got Ole Miss. So go Tigers, and hopefully let's get to 1-0/5-0.
Yeah. No, I agree. The only thing I would add is that as we're talking about LSU food at Tiger Stadium, even the club level, I've been there, not that great. And but the thing that was undefeated for at least for Daniel, I mean, I've been to probably 30 games with Daniel, maybe 40 40 games with Daniel.
I know what you're about to say.
And it's always the frozen lemonade.
Yeah, even if it's just the regular Minute Maid,
frozen lemonade.
You get the guy coming up the stands with his refrigerated little pouch or whatever you want to call it, and then you get that frozen lemonade, and that's a third quarter knockout that'll feel you for the rest of the game.
It'll feel you, but the funny thing, and I remember Daniel, I mean, you're the resident expert on this. I mean, you've had so many of them, but it makes you thirstier than when you first.
Yeah, you got to get that 20-ounce bottle of water with it. So you end up spending like $13 with the frozen lemonade in the water.
At least you are not suffering, though. I mean, it's suffer for another 2 hours, or you spend $13. Take your pick. I did want to mention, it reminded me when you said that, though, there's sections in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's usually in the end zone where it's not a box. That's how it's set up. Like it's in the stadium, it's seats, but they have it cordoned off. Like there's steps up to the back of it. So where there's only one entrance and one way out, but they have, like, you could see chafing dishes. So, I don't know if you're just like, if a whole group can buy that section, or if you buy those tickets, you're allowed to get that, but that's cool. That's something different. Yeah. You don't have to be in a box to get served. anyway, but I think that'll pretty much do it for us here on Talking Food. I mean, Talking Tigs. Tune in next week. We'll have the Ole Miss game, of course, as well as all the other good games that we talked about earlier. So until then, hope everyone has a great week. Stay safe, stay tuned, and we will talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.